Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family this morning. And as always, we'd like to rejoice. Rejoice in a special way because we're still celebrating Easter. We celebrate Easter for 8 days. We're in the octave of Easter. So, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Let us rejoice in our Lord's triumph. Our Lord died, but he rose from the dead. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And as always, we'd like to start off our conversation inviting the Blessed Mother to be with us, Mary Most Holy. Mary has many different titles. One of the titles of Mary is she's the Mother of God. Mary's the Mother of the Church. But also the Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. She's also our life, our sweetness, and she's our hope. Let's turn to Mary as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's invite also right now to be with us our spiritual director. My spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the gift of gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as the finger of God. The Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master. That's right. The interior master. St. Paul says that we don't really know how to pray as we ought. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us, intercedes with ineffable groans so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to be with us as we sing to the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine says, He who sings well prays twice. So let's lift our hearts, our minds, our souls, in song as we pray to the Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. All of our guardian angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So happy Easter to all of you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Yes, my friends, this whole week up until this coming Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And given that this is such a glorious day, then we are celebrating Easter the whole time with great joy, with great peace. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. So, as always, I offer you my humble prayers. I would like to offer three intentions for you today. First of all, I'd like to ask that through the intercession of Mary in the Mass, that God would bless all of you, as well as your families, as well as your children, with a lot of grace and a lot of holiness, because grace and holiness is really what's most important. Second gift, I'd like to pray in a special way for children and teenagers. That was the intention in our Divine Mercy Novena yesterday, to pray, bring the meek and humble, as well as the children, to me. Pray that God would watch over them in a very special way through Mary's prayers. My third intention would be I'd like to pray in a special way for all of those people who are far away from God, that in this Easter week, that they would discover that true happiness in this life and the next depends on a deep relationship with God. So those are my intentions for all of you, and I'll place you all on the altar. And knowing that a priest praying for you and placing you on the altar is something very, very special. Some of you are already indicating by your comments something very special today, and I was going to mention it also, is today we are celebrating a very important day, because April 8th, 1931, in Rome, Father Vincenzo Antolini was born. So you put that together, 1931, 2021, you got it. Today is the big 90th birthday of Father Antolini. He's celebrating 90 years of life, and he's been a priest for more than 60 years. So invite you to pray for Father Antolini today, offer prayers for him, and your rosary maybe for him. And this day, normally, as you know, in our Facebook community, our Facebook family, we have many activities on my Facebook page every day, quite a few. We always end the day, as I'm sure most of you know, we end the day by making a holy hour, in which we give a little talk, and then we pray the rosary, well explained and meditated, the chaplet of divine mercy, then we make a spiritual communion, then we got some short time for Eucharistic adoration, and then we give benediction. But given that today is the 90th birthday of Father Antolini, what we'll do at 8:30 today will be we will celebrate a live stream mass, and the mass will be live, of course, but live stream for you, because we'll do it in the privacy of our chapel. You probably know that we have a private chapel. When you're religious, canon law allows us to have a chapel, and we have the Blessed Sacrament, because that's the very center and heart of our life, is Jesus Christ in the Mass, in the Tabernacle, in the Eucharist. So we will be celebrating a Mass with Father Antolini, and you'll have five priests celebrating the Mass, and Father Antolini will be our, of course, the guest. Probably know Father Antolini, his health is not that good. He's 90. And he prays and he sacrifices and sufferings. Sometimes we shouldn't forget that. Maximilian Kolbe said there are three stages in the spiritual life. Three stages in the life of holiness. And there is prayer, work, and suffering. Those are the three stages of holiness. We have to pray a lot. We have to work hard. Then suffer. Suffering whatever God wants us to suffer. Suffering can be physical. It can be mental. It can be emotional. It can be social. It can be cultural. It can be moral. It can be spiritual. It can be family. Many of our sufferings deal with family problems. The key is we should try not to waste our sufferings. Make sure that you don't waste your sufferings, but unite your sufferings to the cross of Christ and place that on the altar in the Mass. If done, your suffering will have infinite value. So we thank Father Antolini on his birthday. Just that you're aware of the fact that we as oblates of the Virgin Mary, we would not be here in the United States if it were not for Father Antolini. He came in the early 70s as a pioneer, as a missionary from Italy. He had done missionary work in other countries. He came to Boston. The bishop gave us a house in Back Bay near Fenway Park. Now it's St. Clement's Shrine. We had very, very little. And Father Antolini, trusting in God's divine providence, became the first delegate of the country. And now we have houses in Boston, Milton, near St. Louis, Denver, and California. And he was the one that established the parish of St. Peter Chanel in Hawaiian Gardens back many years ago. It was just like a mission church of Holy Family in Artesia. So we are eternally grateful to Father Antolini for his person, for his priesthood, for his religious life, but also the fact that he took the initiative to come here against all odds. And now we're a small community, but many very good priests. Many good priests that are really working for their sanctification and working with the Lord Mary to save souls. So make sure that you say a prayer today for Father Antolini. So let's move now into our conversation on the topic of the day. This week we've been talking about a variety of topics because we're in this very holy season of Easter. We're celebrating the Easter Day, which lasts 8 days, up until next Sunday, which we mentioned is Divine Mercy Sunday. So today, Jesus, in the Novena, he invites us to bring to me the souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy, and immerse them in my mercy. What a beautiful intention. I repeat, this is the seventh day of the Novena. Bring to me the souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy, and immerse them in my mercy. Now, I honestly believe that this group of people is you, or it will be you. I repeat, to bring to me the souls, especially venerate and glorify my mercy. All this week we've been talking about many things, but we're spending some time in talking about divine mercy. And in a previous talk, I challenged all of you, inviting all of you to become apostles of divine mercy. This number reiterates my invitation that all of us are called to be apostles of divine mercy. When you become an apostle of divine mercy, Jesus is going to bless you abundantly. I repeat, if you become an apostle of divine mercy, Jesus is going to bless you abundantly. So that being the case, I'd like to suggest today three ways in which you can live out this seventh day of the Novena, and you can become an apostle of divine mercy, and you can venerate and glorify God's mercy. So I'm going to give you three concrete suggestions. Number one would be, as you look at this beautiful image of divine mercy, I invite you all in a special way to get to know the beauty of this image. There are many depictions, but here is a classical one. To study and get to know this, and then, if you do not have this in your homes, to enthrone divine mercy in your homes. Make this a habit to enthrone divine mercy in your homes. And then you can study up a little bit of this beautiful image. But enthrone divine mercy in your homes. Place it in a prominent place. I repeat, place the divine mercy in a prominent place. That means not in your attic, not in your basement, not in your garage, not in your closet, no. A prominent place. And that would mean in your living room or your dining room, most likely. Living room and dining room. Living room in the sense that when someone comes into your home, might be a relative or maybe someone you don't know that much. When someone comes into your home, immediately they're going to be seeing that beautiful image. Now that image says so much. Basically what you're saying by that image is that you want Jesus to be the king and center of your homes. Have an image of Mary too. So Jesus is the king and center of your homes. Then Mary, the Blessed Mother, Mary, the Blessed Mother, is the queen. And then when someone come into your home, they may say, what is that picture on the wall? What does that mean, the picture on the wall? And I invite all of you to try to get to know the symbolic meaning of this beautiful image. So, let's just look at this image. This is an Ignatian contemplation now. Look at the image, and I'm going to try to give you a symbolic interpretation. So we start with, if you look at the face and the head of Jesus, it's surrounded by light. Now this light that surrounds the face of Christ, that's a halo. It's a halo. And the halo is symbolic of holiness. Jesus is the Holy of Holies. Jesus is the Holy of Holies. Sanctum Sanctorum would be the Latin. And if Jesus is the Holy of Holies, then you are called to become a saint. Listen to the words of Jesus. Be holy as my Heavenly Father is holy. So Jesus is the Holy One. And the more that we spend time with Christ, the more holy we become. Lumen Gentium chapter 5 is the universal call to holiness. So we have the holiness of Christ. And if you look into his face, the face of Jesus inspires confidence. It inspires confidence. In this sense, yesterday we prayed for all those who are meek and humble of heart. Jesus from this image says this to you. Come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says to St. Peter, cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. I like that, don't you? Padre Pio says, pray, hope, or trust, and don't worry. Pray, hope. And don't worry. So, the face of Jesus is contemplating you right now. When you do your holy hour, you place yourself in the presence of God. Then Ignatius says, try to imagine the look of Christ. In Spanish, imagina la mirada del Señor. Try to imagine the face of Christ is looking at you with great confidence. He's inviting you to talk to him, to be his friend. And if you look at the garment of Jesus, his tunic, it's white. It's white. Now when we come out to celebrate Mass, we come out in the white chasuble, the white vestment. During Lent, we had purple. Purple, which, excuse me, is the color of penance. White is the color of victory, of joy, and purity. So Jesus invites us to try to live a life of purity. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, which is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. It's a beautiful image. Now, let's move on with our interpretation. The right hand of Jesus is lifted up. He's lifted up like this. And what Jesus is doing is, with the right hand, he is blessing. He's blessing. So what Jesus is saying, he wants to bless you. He wants to bless your children. He wants to bless your family. But what Jesus is also saying is, those who enthrone and venerate, which is the petition for the seventh day, those who venerate my divine mercy, one way that we venerate divine mercy is by enthroning the image. Those who venerate my divine mercy will receive many, many blessings. So Jesus is blessing those homes that have this image. You know, what that means in a more extensive way is the following. Okay, you have a visitor come to visit you. And this visitor is maybe non-practicing Catholic, as is often the case. That's a group that we prayed for, those who separated themselves from the church. Could be a Protestant, but could be a Catholic that's no longer practicing. Or the nun groups, no affiliation whatsoever. So he walks into your living room, and he walks in front of the image, and he looks at the image. Just by walking in front of the image and looking at it, Jesus is already blessing that person. Even though he does not know the full impact of it. Tell you an interesting story of the power of this image. Probably about 8 years ago, I had to travel about half hour because there was a man that was very sick, and he was a friend. He was a brother of one of my friends. So I went to his house and with his brother and sister-in-law, and he opened up the door and he had the TV on and he kind of greeted us. And he was a Catholic, a non-practicing Catholic. And he turned the TV on in Spanish, even though he spoke English, kind of distracting himself from the purpose of our visit. I wanted to give him the sacraments. So his brother, as well as his sister-in-law, left, and he didn't seem to pay attention to me that much. Then I pulled out that little image of Divine Mercy, the little card. He looked at it, and something changed. He opened up, he went to confession. I gave him the anointing of the sick. I gave him Holy Communion. And within 48 hours, he was dead. And he didn't seem to be that unhealthy. He was even going to the gym. He died within 48 hours, having gone to confession, receiving the anointing of the sick, and receiving the Eucharist. And I attribute that to Jesus, and I attribute it to the power of this image. And I just showed him one of the little holy cards. And people say we shouldn't be adoring images. Well, we honor and we adore what it represents. This represents the infinite mercy of the heart of Christ. So I just told you that story. That's one story among many of the miracles that flow from those who venerate Divine Mercy. One of the many powerful stories. Yes, and that person, yeah, as Sunshine is pointing out, the person, he didn't know, nor did we, because he had cancer, but he was going to the gym every day and didn't seem to be really that bad. But God knew his time. He went to confession, communion, the anointing of the sick. And outside, his sister-in-law and his brother were praying for him, too. So the power of united prayer. So here, let's go back to our interpretation of this beautiful image, which all of you should have in a prominent place in your homes, and try to promote enthronement of Divine Mercy. So we've talked about the right hand, which is blessing. This image will bless people, will bless families, will bless children, will bless the teenagers. Right now, this whole week, I'm talking to confirmation students, and I'm talking about Divine Mercy. So these 225 young people, at least they'll have the basic understanding of Divine Mercy. So let's move on in our interpretation. Now we turn to the other hand of Jesus. Now the other hand of Jesus is pointing to his heart. Now it's interesting, if you look at my studio here, you can see I'm pointing now to the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart was actually outside the body. Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who is on the wall in the studio behind me. You can't see it that well. Well, I can show it to you. Here we have the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And on the other side, I have the Sacred Heart. So the Sacred Heart was actually outside the body. Whereas this, the heart of Jesus is actually inside his body. Interesting. Maybe someone can write a book on that. But here the Sacred Heart is inside. And you have, from the heart of Jesus, you notice there are two rays brilliant rays that are emanating from the heart of Jesus. One is a light color. The other color is red. Now, what is the origin of this? Well, the origin of this is Good Friday. And it's Good Friday after Jesus dies. The legs of the other thieves are broken so that they will be dead for the celebration of the Feast of the Passover for the Jews. But Jesus has already died. So what happens is the soldier underneath the cross, his name is Longinus, the centurion soldier, seeing Jesus dead, he takes the lance, which is a kind of a sword. He takes the lance and he thrusts the lance at the side of Jesus. This you can read in John chapter 19. And the lance, it goes through his side, enters into his heart. And from that heart, pierced with a lance, comes forth. And the word is not trickle, but rather gushes. There's a big difference between trickling, like a trickling faucet in your home. It gushes forth from his open side, two things, blood and water. So those two rays that are emanating from the heart of Christ, it takes us back to Good Friday. Jesus is already dead. The soldier lifts up the sword. He thrusts the sword into the heart of Christ. It pierces his side. It pierces his sacred heart. And blood and water comes gushing forth. Jesus is giving, giving, giving. Even after he's dead, Jesus is still giving. He's giving. Even up to the last drops of his water, last drops of his precious blood. So here you have those two rays, which takes us back to Good Friday. That's actually when we actually start the Divine Mercy Novena, as you know. We start it on Good Friday. Now let's talk about the symbolism of these two rays. Let's see how these rays are so important in Catholic symbolism. The Church Fathers and the Council Fathers say that the Church was born from the sight of Christ, who slept in death on the cross. The Fathers say that from the open sight of Christ, gushing forth blood and water, the Catholic Church is born. And it's born in more fullness, we might say, on Pentecost. On Pentecost Sunday. So these images, the lighter one, which is water, it symbolizes two sacraments. Yes, two sacraments. And it would be the sacrament, the first sacrament we receive, which is the sacrament of baptism. Why? Because baptism is a sacrament where you have matter and form and minister. Minister is usually the priest. The form would be the Trinitarian formula. John, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the matter is water. So the light rays are symbolic of baptism. Symbolic of baptism. So every time we see this image, we see that light ray. We call to mind, my friends, we call to mind the gift of our own baptism. How thankful we should all be. How thankful we should all be of our own baptism. Baptism, my friends, that moment you were transformed into a son or daughter of God. You were transformed into a brother and sister to Jesus Christ. You were transformed into an intimate friend of the Holy Spirit. You became a living icon, a living temple of the Blessed Trinity. But there's another interpretation of the light rays. And it is also symbolic of the sacrament of confession. The sacrament of confession. And Jesus conferred that sacrament Easter Sunday night. The apostles were in the upper room, in the cenacle, with the doors closed because they were fearful of being apprehended. They're fearful that what happened to Jesus might happen to them, and they weren't ready for that. So Jesus walked through the door, and you hear this in the gospel today in Luke chapter 24, and Jesus said, Shalom. Shalom means peace be with you. And Jesus then breathed forth on them the Holy Spirit. He breathed forth on them the Holy Spirit. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Then he went on to say, whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whose sins you retain will be retained. My friends, in that moment, Jesus was conferring upon the early church, the first priests and bishops. And these were the apostles. He was conferring upon them the ability and power to forgive sins in his name. And I think we have to renew our faith that even though we as priests, we are sinners, and we ourselves go to confession to another priest, God has chosen the person of the priest as a channel by which sins are forgiven. I mentioned several times that movie, The Greatest Miracle. One of the scenes in the movie, The Greatest Miracle, you see a woman entering the confessional, and she's opening up her heart. She's telling the priest of the problem she has with her husband and her son. Her son's alcoholism and the son and father not talking together. And she says, I feel I'm losing my faith. And then the priest listens attentively. And then when he lifts up his hand, you can see the wound of Christ. You should see that the priest is actually Christ. So it's really Christ that forgives sins. So that light ray is an invitation to all of us to appreciate the sacrament of confession, but not to simply appreciate it as a relic, as some theological reality, but also to receive the sacrament of confession. Have trust. Jesus had trust in you. You know, my friends, the two most important words I say every day. The two most important words I say every day are, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. In which the bread and wine are being transformed into the body and blood of Christ. But then, the second is when I lift up my hand and I say, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Those are the second most important words that I say as a priest. Because by saying those words, the essential key words of absolution, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then your sins, my friends, they're forgiven. And depending upon your disposition, your soul becomes white and clean and pure. White as the sun. So by contemplating the light rays in this image, we're contemplating the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of confession. Let us get in the habit of going to confession frequently, as well as bringing our children and our teenagers. What you might do in venerating Divine Mercy is in these next few days, you might invite a friend or a relative that has been away from the church, invite him to come to confession, and talk about the Divine Mercy promise, which we'll be talking about probably tomorrow, in which by confession and communion on Divine Mercy Sunday, our souls becomes white as snow, and we start a new slate. If we were to die, we go right to heaven. So you might talk to some relative or friend and speak about the Divine Mercy promise, which is right around the corner. They love this image, don't you? I love this image. And we really want to venerate Divine Mercy. This is a great way that we can venerate Divine Mercy by honoring this image, enthroning this image in a prominent place, and being able to talk about this image as I'm explaining it to you. Okay, so that would be the light rays. Now let's move from the light rays to the red rays, which I'm pointing at right now. The red rays that emanate from the heart of Jesus is symbolic of the blood of Christ. When his heart was pierced, blood and water came gushing forth. And that refers to another sacrament. And it refers to the greatest of all the sacraments. And the greatest of all the sacraments, my friends, is that of the Holy Eucharist. Our salvation, my friends, as Catholics, depends upon these red rays. It depends upon the Eucharist. Listen to these words of Jesus, taken from John chapter 6. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers in the time of Moses, they ate the manna in the desert, but they died. Seek not the perishable food, but rather seek the bread of life. What Jesus was saying in that discourse in John chapter 6, in the synagogue of Capernaum, Jesus was making a symbolic reference to what would happen at the Last Supper, which is the first Mass, the institution of the Holy Eucharist. So, receiving the Eucharist, my friends, is not something that's optional, secondary. Rather, the reception of the Eucharist is essential and indispensable for the salvation of our souls. Jesus says, he who does not eat my body and drink my blood will not have everlasting life. So the salvation of our mortal souls depends upon our belief, our love, and our reception of the Most Holy Eucharist. So you see those red rays, the red rays emanating from the heart of Christ, is our invitation to go deeper in our knowledge, love, faith, devotion for the Eucharist. My friends, if I can be honest with you, we should have a real longing for the Eucharist, real desire for the Eucharist. I love to quote Psalm 41, verse 1, related to this longing and yearning for the Eucharist. And that Psalm 41, 1 gives us the example of a deer that's thirsty. As a deer is yearning for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Now that deer has not drank any water the whole day in the desert. At the end of the day, he's able to drink this fresh water from a stream. So we should have greater hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Okay, so there you have the two rays that are emanating from the heart of Christ. There's a few other details I'd like to go through in this image. And we invite all of you to enthrone this image in your homes. And I'm telling the confirmation students to tell their parents to have this enthroned in their homes. But, you know, why not have the Divine Mercy image enthroned in all the bedrooms? They tell the confirmation student, you should have Divine Mercy image, and then you should have also the Blessed Mother, so that when you return home, maybe hard day's work, or maybe had a tough day at school or at sports, you enter your home and you have Jesus and Mary, they're welcoming you. Jesus is welcoming you, and Our Lady of Guadalupe is welcoming you. And that could turn your teenager son or daughter, their desolation into joy. The power of these images to even change our sentiments. These images can move us from desolation to consolation. And I invite you. This, I think, is a good way to get through our desolation, because we all have desolation. Is you sit down in front of this image in silence. You look at the image, you contemplate the image, then you talk to Jesus. Then, as St. Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. What a beautiful biblical passage. Cast your cares or worries or preoccupations upon the Lord, because he cares for you. So, have this image in your home, have this image in your rooms, and this will bless your family abundantly. Okay, now if you look down, below, by the way, the hands and the feet of Jesus, can't see it too much, but if you look at the hand pointing to his heart, you can see it. There is a wound. Every time you see a picture of Jesus with his wounds, this is probably, maybe it's obvious to you, but it's a depiction of the risen Jesus Christ. So this is an image of the risen Jesus Christ. And the fact that Jesus is actually standing up is a symbol of the resurrection. Okay? He's not laying down, he's standing up. It's a symbol of him in his resurrected form. Now, if you look, so you have the wounds of Jesus in his hands and his feet and his side are symbols of his great love for us. Yes. So we contemplate the wounds of Christ. That's why the saints, like Saint Bonaventure and some of the great mystics, say that we seek refuge in the wounds of Christ. Even in the prayer we say, attributed to Saint Ignatius, the Anima Christi, soul of Christ sanctify me, body of Christ save me, blood of Christ inebriate me. And we say, blood of Christ inebriate me, water from the side of Christ wash me, passion of Christ strengthen me, O guilt Jesus hear me. And we ask that we'll be hidden in the wounds of Christ. May we be hidden in the wounds of Christ. And then another detail that once my mother pointed out to me that I never really recognized is, look at the feet of Jesus. If you look at the feet of Jesus, he's not walking backwards as I am now. I'm walking backwards. But rather, I'm walking toward you now. What is the difference between walking backwards and walking forward? If the fact that walking backwards is negative, number one, you might hit your head. Number two, it's as if the person doesn't want to be close to you. So Jesus is not walking backwards, but rather Jesus is stepping. You can see with this foot right here, he's actually stepping towards you. That says a lot. Is that Jesus, he loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus goes out of his way to search for you. It's like the good shepherd that is looking for the lost sheep. In Luke chapter 15, he's going and looking for the lost sheep. Jesus wants to take the initiative to go after the lost sheep. In the poem of the English poet Francis Thompson, The Hound of Heaven, Jesus is like the Hound of Heaven, searching us out, trying to pursue us, going after sinners, as we should try to bring sinners back to the heart of Christ. And last but not least is, you can see those words at the very bottom. Jesus told Saint Faustina when this painting was made, he wanted those words, Jesus, I trust in you to be part of this image. Jesus, I trust in you to be part of this beautiful, beautiful image. Now, when you find yourself, my friends, in desolation, because we all go through desolation, I invite you to find refuge in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in his divine mercy. Find refuge in his divine mercy by going in front of him. You don't have to kneel down. You can kneel down if you like, but or sit down and just look at this divine mercy image and open up your heart and talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord what's going on in your life. He will listen to you. Jesus is the best of listeners. He really is. As we saw yesterday in the disciples on the road to Emmaus, how Jesus listened very attentively. And the gospel today is an extension of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then open up your heart and talk to Jesus. And then say, with your problem, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And that's a great way for all of us to move from our desolation to our consolation. So I hope my talk has been helpful to you today. I believe that this is really important as we honor in a very special way the Divine Mercy image. And the seventh day we want to try to venerate Divine Mercy. So given that we're in the Easter season, the Easter day, I've been ending my talk by singing to Mary. So let's sing the Regina Caeli. Then I'll give you a blessing with the Divine Mercy image. Okay, so let's sing this prayer, this beautiful hymn. Regina Caeli, laetare, alleluia, quia, quem eruisti portare, alleluia, resurrexit, sicut dixit, alleluia, ora pro nobis Dei. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.